This is the very beginning of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, Thanks be to God.
My friends, this is a hard time for our nation. We live in an era when our beliefs have been shaken. Beliefs that we do hold one another accountable for just and moral actions. That we do judge one another by the content of our character. That our nation's leaders do act from a sense of integrity, that our nation itself does stand together, that we will come together as one people to tackle the seemingly intractable challenges of global warming. And that's one of the reasons that I give thanks for you. I give thanks for you, Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ. Because when I hear or read or see the disgrace of impeachment, I remember that you are faithful. That God is faithful. And that you have gifts and graces that have been strewn across your lives with incredible abundance in an extravagant manner. And that you strive to become the beloved community. And that, like a virus, the beloved community is something that you can catch if you're not careful. It's a virus that does not live on unwashed hands, but rather dwells in the swelling hearts of people like you. It's not a virus you can catch with a handshake, but by opening your heart and your mind to something or someone new. It's not a virus that's transmitted by casual contact with other people, but rather it is spread wherever love and grace and awe are experienced and lived out. It's not a virus limited to just one demographic group. I mean, it spreads among Gen X and Boomers and Gen Y and the Greatest Generation. Whenever we break down walls instead of building them up, whenever we build bridges instead, it's not a virus that's contained within any one ethnic or religious group. It's spread by reaching beyond oneself, and beyond self-interest, and beyond radical individualism, beyond nationalism, beyond chauvinism, beyond racism. None of us, not one of us here, is fully inoculated against that virus that Dr. King called the beloved community, using the phrase of philosopher Josiah Royce. And I hate to tell you, but you've been exposed to that virus, which is sometimes a little hard to catch, but it's even harder to get rid of. You see, Jesus had that virus, and every time you come to the communion table, every time you are a recipient of God's grace, when you receive the gift of baptism, when you were given the gift of life itself, then, my friends, you were exposed to the virus. And like any virus, the more you're exposed, the greater the chances are that you will contract it and then manifest the beloved community. I'm grateful for you, because not only are you living with the virus, you are a carrier. And I know that some of you are spreading that virus every time you offer a listening ear, every time you stand up for justice, every time you do a simple act of kindness, every time you share something of yourself. Beloved community is the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaimed. Beloved community is where creation's wealth is preserved and shared, where racism, bigotry, and prejudice are eradicated, where fear and intimidation are replaced by faith and love, where nations use nonviolent means to resolve conflicts, where we see and we live into the unity of humankind and creation. Beloved community is grounded in nonviolence on a personal level, on a group level, on a social level, and on an international level. In 1957, Dr. King wrote, "The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community." The aftermath of nonviolence is redemption. The aftermath of nonviolence is reconciliation. Those of us who remember the fall of apartheid in South Africa and the profound witness and work and ministry of Archbishop Desmond Tutu know that truth and reconciliation are the only viable alternatives to falsity and further violence. So when you read or listen or watch the impeachment hearings this week, I want you to take a moment and remember something. I want you to remember that you have been exposed to a virus. Carrying that virus determines how you spend your money, how you think, how you feel, how you spend your weekends, how you vote, how you raise your children or treat your elders, how you exist as a gifted soul in God's world. I give thanks for you. And as you watch the debate that I presume will be rancorous, and as you hear truths and falsehoods unfold, remember that you have been exposed to a virus that has changed you into somebody who is no longer susceptible to the cancer of hatred. Carrying that virus means that you will not hate anyone. Moreover, it means that you will work for reconciliation. In an article in the Christian Century, which continues to be the dominant magazine in mainline Protestantism, but in an article in 1966, Dr. King wrote, "I do not think of political power as an end. I do not think of economic power as an end. They are ingredients in the objective that we seek in life. And I think that end of the objective is a truly brotherly society, the creation of the beloved community." The kingdom of God that Jesus proclaimed and the beloved community that Dr. King espoused are not fully realized. I don't have to tell you that. You see it every day. You see the evidence. But a virus is not visible to the naked eye. It is within us. It is among us. It is passed to others by love and by reconciliation. I give thanks for you, Plymouth, because I have witnessed your love, I have witnessed your faith, and you give me hope for the beloved community. So keep on keeping on. I leave you this morning with a short visual meditation that is comprised of newsreel footage from the March on Washington in 1963. May it help spread the virus.